told me she had Irish grandparents, though she was living in Wisconsin. Elaine was her name, teaching in a college of further education. And we talked for a little while about teaching and the problems and the joys of teaching. But one thing she said stayed with me for a long time afterwards. She said that to every new group she gave as their first assignment a two-page story, the story of their lives, which had as its opening sentence, "Everything I have ever done has led me to where I find myself today. Everything I have ever done has led me to where I find myself today." Most of us, I'm sure, would agree that life has surprised us, has disappointed us. Most of us surely have an unhappy chapter in the account of our lives. But would you say, as you grow older, that in everything that has happened to you, an unseen hand has guided you, and that you have found in everything a purpose for the good? As life goes on, I'm sure you'll agree, we find ourselves, don't we, thinking not about the things that happened to us, but on our response and how we responded to each situation. Our lives are surely not shaped by what happens to us, but by the way we respond to those things. God could have created a much more friendly world. But as I read recently, he gave us a world that would inevitably break our hearts, and compensated for that by planting in our souls the wonderful gift of resilience. In your life, when things turned out a lot less friendly than you had hoped, did you go under? Or did you rail against God? Or did you perhaps go deeply into yourself and discover how resilient you were? As priests, we see many people who have been badly scarred by life, scarred in mind and heart, and sometimes indeed in their bodies. But from my experience anyway, most of these people see their scars not as a disfigurement, not as marking them out as victims, but as badges they have earned in the struggle against the unfairness of life, a struggle that they ultimately won, albeit at a heavy cost. Jesus' words there in the Gospel reading, "There is no need to be afraid," are a bit startling. But he doesn't leave it at that. He says, "There is no need to be afraid, for it has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom." For it has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom. And if we go back a couple of sentences from where we read those words, chapter 12 of St. Luke, we hear Jesus describing that kingdom. He speaks of the way that the Father has cared for everything he has made, for the birds of the air who do not need to sow or reap or gather into barns, but are fed by our Heavenly Father, for the flowers that are clothed in beauty without having to do anything about it. And when we look back in our lives, surely we can see how the hand of God was with us, how our lives were shaped by our Heavenly Father and by our response to that loving care. Recently I talked to a woman who was in her 70s, caring for a husband who had very poor health, and with a 30-year-old son, schizophrenic, living with him, a boy who has lived with him for 16 years and can be very difficult at times. But she wasn't complaining. And I sensed in her a great strength and resilience and a lovely, quiet sense of humour and of faith. She said, "The good Lord has never let me down." I've seen it happen many times, people who through their tears have said, "I don't see myself ever getting over this," but telling me later how some source beyond themselves gave them strength. A strength they weren't sure they had until it was needed. And then it miraculously appeared. There is no need to be afraid if you believe that the Lord is with you. And instead of exhausting ourselves, fighting our problems, we're surely better off waiting on the Lord and using our strength to comfort one another in a world that is almost certain to mock our dreams and break our hearts. We remember the last verse of the responsorial psalm. Our soul is waiting for the Lord. The Lord is our help and our shield. May your love be upon us, O Lord, as we place all our hope in you.